And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon this morning is going to be on our Old Testament lesson, Job chapter 38. And actually, more than that chapter, I actually want to preach about the book of Job. I see some folks looking down already thinking, Job is a tough book. It's a book about pain and suffering. We often would rather not think about it. We'd often rather think, well, I'm a believer, pain and suffering should not come my way. We know we're not supposed to think that, but we are wired to think, if I serve God, my life will go better. Does the Bible ever say that? Quite the opposite. In the book of Job, Job chapter 1 tells us that Job is a righteous man. He fears God. He prays for his family. It tells us that he's been blessed by God. He has 7 sons, 3 daughters, thousands of animals. The book is so old, by the way, animals was how you measured your wealth. He's been richly blessed by God. He's a God-fearer and he serves God. We love that. And then terrible suffering comes his way. We need to look at this book. Several weeks ago, I said that a sermon should be listenable, encouraging, realistic, and textual. Do you remember that? I want you to underline the word realistic. Realistic. The book of Job says, here's a godly man pursuing the ways of the Lord, and into his life came terrible struggle. When we suffer, what's our question? Why? Exactly. Why, Lord, is my marriage in trouble? Why, Lord, do I have this diagnosis? Why, Lord, has my loved one died? Why, Lord, is my job at risk? I've worked hard. Why? In my previous parish, I had a funeral for a 2-year-old girl. 2 years. Sick from the day she was born. What do you say? You ask why? And people ask God why. And when you ask God why, as a rule, you don't hear an out loud answer. So what do? You ask the pastor why. Why, pastor, has this happened? And I'm going to tell you, I always answer it the exact same way. What do I say? I don't know. Now, the next time you suffer terribly, you are allowed to call me and ask why, but you already know what I'm going to say. And I'm saying I don't know why. Because I don't. I don't. There's a phrase that we say to our kids. And I think it's mostly right. You shouldn't not say it. I said it to mine. But certain things in life, we have to call it's a general rule. Generally, this is true. And here's the thing we say. We say actions have consequences. Is that true? Yeah, kind of. I will never forget this. When I was in college, I had a buddy whose grades were very poor. I'm not making this up. Fourth year, by the way, what I'm about to say is going to show you how old I am. Fourth year of college, his grades weren't bad enough to fail out, but they were terrible. And in our fourth year, he comes and asks me to teach him how to use the card catalog system. Now, if you're in your 20s, you have to have your parents explain to you what the card catalog system is, I know. But fourth year, he didn't know how to use it. And I showed him how to use it. And this is what he said to me. True story. He said, if you study, your grades go up. Wow. You know, who knew? Actions have consequences, I get it. And they can have consequences the other way around. If you drive too fast and the cop has a radar gun, what's he going to do? He's going to give you a speeding ticket. Now I want us to get this. It is not fair to say, woe is me, the injustice that I suffer. How have I gotten a speeding ticket? How did you get the speeding ticket? You drive too fast. By the way, I'm a sinner too, I understand. Now that's a general rule, actions have consequences, but it's literally, it's not one for one that if you do good, you get good. You can be a God follower and suffer. And when you do, what are you going to ask? Why? The book of Job has a troubling thought in Job chapter 1. The angels are walking into the presence of God. One of them is Satan, and Satan is talking to God. God raises the topic. God says, Satan, have you ever thought about my servant Job? He's fantastic. And Satan said, of course he is. You've made him rich. Let's take that away and see how it goes. Here's the troubling thought. It's Satan who attacks him, but it's God who allows it. God permits his suffering, and he says, you may take away from him, but you may not touch the man himself. And Satan sends a natural disaster that kills all of his children at the same time and takes away all of his wealth. And Job does not turn against God, and Satan comes back and says, people can lose a lot of things, but let me touch his health. We'll see what he does. And God says, you may not kill him, but you can make him sick. And Job is so sick that he sits in the ashes and takes broken pottery to scrape the sores of his skin. Job has three friends to show up. In Job chapter 2, they're at their very best. What do? They see his suffering, they sit with him, and they shut up. That's wonderful. There are times when people are suffering, they do not need your pearls of wisdom. They just need your presence. And they sit, the Bible tells us, for 7 days they sit and say nothing. I wish they had stayed that way. Because Job talks first, and Job, a man of faith, says, I wish I'd never been born. I curse the day I die. I wish my mother had never had me. I wish God had never made me. In a way, I'm glad that text is in the Bible, and Job will have other words like that. I'm glad it's there because the Bible is saying to you that in our anguish, we can express to God how we feel. God does not criticize Job for that. Job is going to say some things about God that are true. He's going to say some things about God that are not exactly right. He accuses God. He asks God where he is. He asks God, will you ever act? And God does not assault him. But after Job speaks, his friends speak. They said nothing for 7 days. In chapter 3, they start to speak. They will speak all the way through chapter 37. Have you read it? It's long. These guys yammer on, saying the biggest bunch of nonsense. Some help, right? Our Old Testament lesson this morning was God speaking. Up till then, God is silent. Where's God? What will God do? What will he say? And finally, he speaks. Our question is why? Our question, God, I want you to explain it to me. And what does he say? Nothing about that. God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who determined the measurements of the world? Who has laid its cornerstone? Who shuts in the sea? Do you command the sun in the morning? It's a strange answer and a difficult answer. Our mind wants to understand, Lord, why have these things happened? Lord, let me know why it is. Help me understand. Maybe I'll deal with it better. So the friends throw all the stuff. Maybe God is testing you. Maybe God is purifying you. Maybe you've committed a sin. All those answers. Phooey, right? This is what I want you to get. God does not answer why. God answers who. Do we hear it? God says who. This is what he's saying. He's saying, I need you to know who I am, and I need you to know who you are. There are some things we don't and won't understand. If we don't understand them, what does it mean? We didn't make the world. We don't cause the sun to rise. We didn't fling the stars across the universe. There are things we don't get. What we're to get is to trust in God. That's not easy, right? He says, trust in me. As I said, believers are allowed to express their doubts. There's this wonderful passage at the end of the book. I love it. God addresses Job's friends, and then he addresses Job. But this is what he says. He says to the friends, you have spoken wrongly about me. And then he literally says, unlike my servant Job. I want us to hear this. Job has spoken questions of doubt. He's spoken questions that attack God's authority and his wisdom. And God does not call that lack of faith. He says to the friends, you spoke wrongly about me, but Job hasn't. He's saying there's a way to have those questions in your mind and to still be in the faith. Now, I want us to think of Job, and I want us to turn to our gospel lesson just for a few moments to notice this. Matthew chapter 14. Funny little phrase, and sometimes the little phrases in the Bible matter. The section we read begins with these words. He made the disciples get into the boat. You hear it? He made the disciples. Let me ask you this. Jesus makes them get into the boat. Where are they headed? Into a storm. Do we see it? Jesus has done a miracle. He's going to dismiss the crowds. He says, guys, get in the boat. Jesus knows they're going into the storm. He makes them get into the boat to go into the storm. And in the storm, they're thinking, where's Jesus? Where's my God to save me? So where is he? This is the fun part about the text. He's walking toward them, right? They're in the storm. They're thinking, Jesus doesn't care that we die, but he's actually aware of where they are, and in ways they don't get, he's with them. Jesus is not absent. He's with us. He's walking toward them. I'm not going to preach about Peter walking on the water. You've heard a lot of sermons about it. Those are great sermons about his looking at the storm. That's not my point. I want us to hear something. Thinking of that, Matthew 14, storm on the lake, Jesus walking on the water. Our Old Testament lesson, we started reading it at verse 4 of Job 38. I want to read verse 1. I love these words. It's so parallel. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Do you hear it? All the things going on in Job's life. God's forgotten me. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Where's Jesus? In the storm with him. And God speaks. So, hear these words from Job 38. Verse 8, who shut in the sea with doors? Verse 10, who prescribed limits for it? Verse 16, have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Do you hear it now? When you read Job 38, the first time it feels, oh, that's an Old Testament passage about the majesty and power of God. And it is, but listen to this. It literally says, have you walked on the water? Matthew 14, they're in a storm. What's Jesus doing? He's the one that walks on the water, right? He's the one, of course, that suffers and dies too. Job 38, God is God. Matthew 14, Jesus walks on the water. Who's Jesus? They're God. Here's the fun thing. Did they get it? For a change, yes, right? There's all these other passages in the Bible where I say, did they get it? And the answer is always no. Did they get it that Jesus in walking on water has revealed who he is? Yes, because they say, truly you are the Son of God. We do not know why. We may not get to know why, but we do know this is our God. That's what we know. Now here's the thing. It is really easy to preach about suffering because I'm not suffering right now. Next time I suffer, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to grumble about it. And I'm going to say, why, Lord? That's all right. You're allowed to say that. You're allowed to question. You're allowed to waver. You're allowed to speak bluntly with your God. As long as you remember to look at him, to trust in him. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with him. Amen.